Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Is anybody familiar with the Japanese chant Kanroman? You will be, hopefully, after I'm done. When I wrote this, I sort of jumped around, but I'm going to try and put the history together in a particular order. The origin of the Kanroman goes back to Buddha, and it's had a number of incarnations, so it hasn't remained the same as when it started with Buddha. But you may recall that Ananda was a disciple of the Buddha, and he was the first disciple. And back in those days, the teachings were verbal, and they were passed down verbally. And his students in particular had developed very acute minds to be able to carry these words and translate them accurately. And over time, Ananda began writing down the words of the Buddha. And his writings on each teaching always began with the words, "Thus have I heard." Now, some of you may have heard that before, but "thus have I heard." So before each teaching that he wrote down, that was what was there. And it came to pass that one day Ananda went to Buddha, and he was extremely upset. And he said to the Buddha, I suffer terribly. And so the Buddha asked him why. He said, "Well, I had this dream. And in the dream, my mother was hanging upside down in hell, and she is suffering terribly." So the Buddha passed on the Ruman Khan to him as a way of helping him with his suffering. And the heart of this is helping with suffering. So this chant was passed down through the centuries, and eventually became translated into Japanese. And somewhere in the 1800s, Menzan, again adapting the sutra to the times of the 1800s in Japan, changed it and added a variety of tantric practices into this sutra. And then it continued to be chanted, and then eventually came as part of the liturgy in the United States. But to jump back just briefly, this chant was chanted everywhere in Buddhist monasteries. It's a part of liturgy in all the different Japanese monasteries. And there was this ritual in Japan where there was a particular holiday. And I think it was Obon, but I'm not sure. But anyway, there's this particular holiday where families would bring the family together, including all their ancestors, into their home. So both literally and metaphorically, they would bring, in particular, the ancestors. And a priest would come, and he would chant the Kanroman, which as part of this service. And at the end of the service, and this took place in the evening, the end of the service, the family would take these little boats and put candles in them and put them in the stream, and they would be carried down the stream. And each one of those represented an ancestor of the family. And they would be sent down the creek, and it is said, sending them back, and it's left at that. But what I would imagine is sending them back in a healed way after having experienced this service. Now, you'll see that these things sort of get used interchangeably, and I'll try and talk about them a little more, the idea of spirits and ancestors being included in the present moment. Generally, I look at it as metaphorical, but not totally, and I'll try to explain that in a bit. Okay, so we're going to fast-forward the tape. And by the way, I'm going to attempt to use modern technology to supplement my talk. Now, you know that Bernie Glassman, who, interestingly enough, just to give you a sense of this guy, he graduated with a PhD in aeronautical engineering. So here's this guy as a scientist who winds up as a Zen teacher. And so it goes that, or thus I have heard, that he and a couple of friends were hanging out after graduating school, and they were talking about, well, okay, now we're aeronautical engineers, what are we going to do? And so each of them had some particular goal in the field of science, you know, the space industry or whatever. And Bernie had three goals. One was to live in a kibbutz, one was to live in a Zen monastery, and one was to live on the streets. So he lived out. He did live on a kibbutz. He did live in a Zen monastery for most of his life, and he did live on the streets. But that's sort of the essence of this guy who carries the name Bernie. So back in the late 60s in ZCLA, Bernie connected with Maizumi Roshi, who, as you know, started the White Plum lineage. And Bernie had sort of an interesting relationship with Maizumi. He was his teacher, and he was the first Dharma successor. But they were very close in a interpersonal way. And Maizumi was a very formal teacher. He wasn't the kind of guy who you would say, well, he wings things. You know, he was very traditional and carried all the traditions from Zen in Japan when he came here. Now, he became very close to Bernie, who, as we know, eventually became a pretty out there guy with Zen practice. You know, if there's Zen practice, well, he was way over here. Yet they were very close. So Bernie was at ZCLA for 11 years. And at around the 11th year, Maizumi wanted him to come back. He was originally from Brooklyn, which he always makes a point to say it's not New York, it's not Manhattan, it's its own special thing, which is much better than New York. But before he came back, and oh, the Roman Khan was used in ZCLA for all those years. And the thing that Bernie felt was he loved to chant it. There was something that he connected with it, but he didn't understand a word of it because it was in Japanese. And so Maizumi wanted to translate this, and he wanted Bernie to do it. But Bernie didn't speak Japanese, so they did it together. And let me see if I can find this. Maizumi always said to Bernie, quote, "Learn from me what you can and spit out what doesn't fit into Western society." Now, that was pretty wide open for Maizumi to do that because he was inviting in a wholly different kind of Buddhism than had existed when he arrived here. So Bernie translated the Khan Roman into English with the help of Maizumi. And he included in the new version metta, part of the Jewish tradition, and a variety of other things from a variety of religions. And all those things were influences. And his translation, he called The Gates of Sweet Nectar. And that's now the Khan Roman, The Gates of Sweet Nectar. And sweet nectar is the nectar of the gods. Now, for me, I find this, his translation, it's really beautiful and very moving. And the gates of sweet nectar are really, like I said, it's a beautiful way of encouraging ourselves to reach out and include and take care of all of those who are marginalized, who are forgotten, and who are neglected in our society, and to bear witness as well to those parts of ourselves which have been left unnamed, which have been left behind, which have never been given attention. So it's about living our lives with an open heart and excluding no thing, no one, throughout space and time. That's where the inviting in the spirits of our ancestors come in. And the idea of spirits, has anybody here had that kind of experience? Not an intellectual experience, but that somehow a family member or a friend who has died comes to you and you've had that experience. Now, it may not be a conversation, it may be just, okay, tell me just a little bit about it. What was the experience?
I've had two different kinds of experiences, and it's with my mom. When my dad died, I had very intense dreams of him, and like there was gray and he was on a long flat stone in the water. Mm-hmm. It was really like a lot of dreams. And then I had dreams where he was healed and he was like, "Wendy," because mm-hmm. we had a rough relationship in real life.
Yeah.
But in the dreams, like, I got a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that went over the period of years. And my mom, I haven't dreamed about her, but I've actually, the strangest experience is like, you're going to think I'm crazy, but she took over my body and was present for a conversation, and mm-hmm. I was like, "Ah!" And my sister had the same experience, that we felt like we were her. It is, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was momentarily. And then the last one is, it's this other thing that I can't really explain that just feels like her. Like, mm-hmm. she's somehow You know, even in a conversation with my sister, I felt her, like, trying to help us not be all separate and, like, all over the place. I just felt this.
And that's, you know, that's, as you probably know, I mean, in the normal experience of living, that sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an experience that really, you know, we really can't explain particularly. I'll take one more if anybody else has that.
When my husband died very suddenly, I was in the emergency room, and there he was. And I felt this, like he was alone, like he was, what has happened? And I saw my mother has passed away, and his mother. I saw his mother and my mother behind him on that gurney thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And suddenly I felt, they're going to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be alone. He's going to be okay. That was just spontaneously there, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, just quickly, I've also had this experience of being in a particular place. And this is, again, not necessarily describable, but the essence of the experience is feeling that there are people here present. And there's like an energy that goes with that, and it somehow relates to the situation that I'm in. But anyway, I'm taking some time aside to focus attention on this because it is part of the heart of this sutra, that it doesn't just include people of the present, but it also includes ancestors and beings that are outside of our normal recognition. And, but one of the things that we know that Bernie does, and it's not limited to this, but I've heard him talk about the experience of being at Auschwitz and what that experience is like, all the hungry spirits that exist in that place. And, you know, you can't see it, but you can certainly have this experience of the pain and suffering that took place there. And again, that's related to this prayer, which I'll get into in more detail. So again, the essence of the prayer is reaching out to all the hungry spirits in the universe. Those spirits can be us. I think in many ways, each one of us is hungry for to be healed in some particular way. Or we have somebody that we want healing for. And the thing that sometimes gets overlooked here is that the hungry spirits, like I said, are us as well. No one and nothing gets excluded. And it's not, well, let me go a little further. So at this point, this is the chant. I didn't make enough copies. We have a lot of people here, but. Okay, so Maizumi asked Bernie, and then Bernie created this, and it became the Gates of Sweet Nectar. And this is what is now the Kanroman. And so I want you to just have the words as we can read this together. And then, well, let's just read this together, and then there's one last part that goes along with it. So if you would, you're going to have to share. Now I'm going to get to, this says the introductory verse by Krishna Das. I'm going to get to that, because that's another important part of this. Because, well, I'll get to that. So here are the Gates of Sweet Nectar, this chant. Calling out to hungry hearts everywhere through endless time, you who wander, you who thirst, I offer you this Bodhi mind. And the Bodhi mind is the mind of compassion. It's open-heartedness. So I offer you this Bodhi mind. Calling out to hungry spirits everywhere through endless time. Calling out to hungry hearts and all those lost and left behind. Gather round and share this meal. Your joy and your sorrow, I make it mine. Let me just do that one more time. Because this is, it's a beautiful way, it's a beautiful practice from which to live our lives. So calling out to hungry hearts everywhere through endless time, you who wander, you who thirst, I offer you this Bodhi mind, this mind of compassion, open-heartedness. I'm here for you, in a sense. So calling out to hungry spirits, and that's why I just so try to give you a sense of what that means. That's why I ask people to share. So calling out to hungry spirits everywhere through endless time, calling out to hungry hearts, all the lost and the left behind. Gather round and share this meal, your joy and your sorrow, I make it mine. And the idea is that all of these disenfranchised either parts of ourselves or beings in our lives or people from our past come together and share a meal. And, you know, it's a beautiful metaphor for this coming together and sharing and reconnecting. You can imagine, I was going to say a family dinner, but sometimes those are not such good occasions. But this idea of sharing a meal. And then Bernie, one of the things that he does is, this is in the context of the Zen Peacemaker Order, they do this chant, and then they have children there who go around the Zendo handing out candies to the different people that are there. So this Gates of Sweet Nectar is now the standard liturgy of the Zen Peacemaker Order, and it's for people living and people who have passed on. And he also points out, and this could be a whole sidetrack, that being human is not more important than an ant, the trees, the mountains, the oceans. Everything is included, right? We don't leave out anything. So the focus of the conversation is about the hungry spirits and humanity, but it doesn't leave out all the other aspects of being. Now, one of the things they do is this can become a practice for people. And the practice is for students to work with. And they take this prayer and they sit with it, they chant with it, and they include it in their daily lives. They become the gates of sweet nectar. They live out in their lives the gates of sweet nectar. Now the last part of this, I'm going to tell you a little bit of this, but if what I want to play for you works, you're going to hear it a second time. Does anybody know who Krishna Das is?
Yeah.
All right. A wonderful chanter. I mean, probably in I guess there's no reason to compare, but I was going to say probably the most beautiful chanter in the world, but he's one of the most beautiful. And his background is Indian tradition. And he, back in the day, was a cohort of Ram Das, and they went to India, and they got connected with Karim Karoli Baba, who was a holy man who was a living expression of love. That was their experience. So they went to India, they met with him, and Krishna Das's experience was he had to leave and come home. And his teacher said to him, "I want you to go back and sing for me." Now, Krishna Das, I can't remember the band, but he had been a singer and in a band of some renown. If I could think of the name, you would probably, if you were from that time period, be familiar with it. So he asked Krishna Das to go back and sing for him. And Krishna Das, his vehicle was to sing chants. If you can, go online and Google Krishna Das, because there are no words that, I'm going to play this, but there's no words that really can capture how beautiful a chanter he is. Bernie encountered Krishna Das at one of his bearing witness retreats at Auschwitz, and they connected and they sort of remained in connection with each other. And then one of the things that happened was Bernie asked him, well, he said, us Buddhists are not very good with melody. If you know from the chants, they're not musical. They're done in a different way. So he wanted Krishna Das to come up with a melody for the Gates of Sweet Nectar. And, well, he did, make a long story short. And then there's another chant called the Hanuman Chalisa, which is Indian, which is to the monkey god. And the monkey god is someone who helps us overcome the obstacles that appear in our lives. So we have two chants. We have the Gates of Sweet Nectar, and we have the Hanuman Chalisa. And it just so happens that the melody that Krishna Das put together for the Gates of Sweet Nectar, he could also use for the Hanuman Chalisa. So anyway, the reason for this is I would like to chant this once a month. Now, we can do it with our chant service, or we can do it by itself. I would prefer by itself. And there is one problem. I have no singing ability whatsoever, so I need somebody to serve as the chant leader that we can follow. Krishna Das did it.
I like that song.
Okay, wonderful. All right, and let's try it. So I think I can be here next week, too. So let's take it, instead of me giving a talk, let's take the second period, and we'll practice it a little bit, And now, so we'll use the time for that. So thank you. I appreciate volunteers. Okay. So just keep these here. All right, Jim, thanks. So next week, volunteers, you better show up. And again, thank you.